Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, we'll talk about the best organic gardening methods on How Homeopathy Helps to Grow Great Gardens, a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and international expert agrohomeopath Avi Raj. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today, our regular co-host is away, and we're going to have a special guest speaker with us, Phyllis Georgic. And she hails from, Phyllis, you're there. Are you in?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you in Pennsylvania?
Yes, I am in Pennsylvania.
Okay, and I really welcome you today. We've been a long-time friends, and Phyllis is a homeopathic consultant and educator. She's a practitioner of homeopathy and holistic health care. She says that she cured her own child of autism many years ago when it was kind of a new thing, and she is the mother of three sons and has studied homeopathy since 1985, having well over 2,000 hours of formal training in, we know it is a medical art and science, as well as 1,000 hours of study and training in nutrition, diet, herbs, midwifery, Tibetan Qigong, I love that, and other holistic forms of ancient medical healing. Phyllis has also taken anatomy and physiology courses and been to autopsies and embalmings as part of her studies. Her homeopathic teachers have been internationally known practitioners, such as Dr. Banerjee of Calcutta and Dr. Ramakrishnan, MD, of India. He also Dr. David Little. A lot of people know who he is. He's been at the forefront of homeopathy and the study of miasms. And formerly of the Himalayas, now residing in Hawaii. She's also taken classes from Dr. Iziaga, MD of Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Will Taylor, MD of Oregon in the United States. Her local instruction has been through Thomas Hurd, Jr., and she has received her homeopathic certification through the Hahnemann Academy of North America, which is now called the Lotus Medical Academy. That's with Dr. Robin Murphy, ND, and she has also studied medical alchemy with Marcus Hobenstricker, PhD, alchemist and environmental chemist. This is a long list of years of training and study and practice that you have had, Phyllis. I'm so happy to say this. And you have also and I know that you're really, really proud of your children. And your youngest son is also in the same field, graduated as a chemist from Penn State.
Right. And I have two grandchildren.
Wow.
Two granddaughters who are very, very healthy, breastfed, home birthed, and non-vaccinated. So they're doing excellently.
Well, we're going to invite you to listen to our Vaccination and Your Rights in the United States show. That's on Thursdays. That's tomorrow.
Okay.
We have that every Thursday with Alan Phillips, who is our legal guide to the maze of exemptions and waivers. So Phyllis has had such an excellent reputation as a healer, a teacher, and a lecturer in the art and science of homeopathy, and we are thrilled to have her with us today. I wanted to give you as you know, I usually begin the show telling you that today is March 30th, 2011, and this is show number 23. Even though it's not How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens, we might plug in a little bit of that because Phyllis is an expert environmentalist and organic gardener. She tells me a lot about what happens in her yard. So on Monday, we do study the Organon. On Wednesday, it's organic gardening. On Thursday, vaccinations and your rights with Alan Phillips. And on Sunday, I've started a new show, which is Midnight Meditation. It's a short little thing. It's a, something to keep us calm and end a week and begin a new week.
That sounds lovely.
Yes, I'll invite you to join me on that.
Yeah.
Recently, I was very, very concerned with the notifications in the news about the radiation levels, even on the East Coast here, and I live in North Carolina. We have had rain the last few days with this information, and all of my trees are in bloom, and even the pear tree has already set its fruit, and I'm really concerned about the well-being of our plants, the earth, the groundwater, and the air. And wondering, I had asked you in an email, what do I do? What precautions I can take regarding the plants that are now getting the rain that has the radioactive fallout on it?
Well, evidently, I had also learned some information that actually baking sodium bromide actually helps to dissipate the radiation. So if you could put that into a bottle and spray that on the areas, spray it on the ground around it, it will actually bring it toward it and help to dissipate it. And, of course, your worms are going to be your real indicators as to whether you are having difficulty or not, because if you've got a lot of worms that are dying, then you know that things are happening incorrectly. But most of the, often, worms are your digestive system of the earth, and so they will be very healthy, certainly, if you give them that immediate. Also, mulch leaves, I've learned this from my partner Tom Zeller, mulch leaves ground up are very, very good also to feed them and to keep them healthy. So if you've got good, healthy worms, you're going to have good, healthy soil, and this will also aid in reconstituting your soil and getting the radiation out of it. Evidently, we've had many other radiation problems in the past, and worms have definitely been our digestive systems here in the earth and have helped us to continue to have good, healthy soil for our foods and our fruits.
That's very interesting, because I've been hearing or reading some information about being aware of the animals in your environment, because they are so sensitive to any kinds of changes, and like the canary in the coal mine kind of concept, that if we're looking at our pets and the farm animals and their behavior and their reactions to their surroundings, that they're going to indicate to us what is actually changing. And this is the thing. If it's raining here and I see the sky and I don't feel radiation heat, I don't feel anything different immediately, or I'm breathing the air and I don't notice anything, it's sort of innocuous. It's an invisible kind of toxin that I'm not aware of to take any kind of precaution. And what do you think about that idea?
Well, the idea is we know that it's around. So simply is to be preventative and to be helpful for yourself, to guard your thyroid. I had known that in Japan during after the Second World War, after the bombings, the people who had survived, and you know that there are a lot of people who had survived, even though many people were devastated and gone, they ate miso soup with soba noodle, which is buckwheat, and they also ate a lot of kelp. So this is truthfully, if you can get kelp into your diet, because it is loaded with all the minerals that you need and loaded with iodine. Iodine is a very important source of removing radiation from your body. Now, they're telling you to take these potassium iodide pills. They're also saying that we're running out of potassium iodide pills. Potassium iodide could be very dangerous, but the uses of a homeopathic remedy by the name of Kali Iodotum can be purchased over the counter from any homeopathic pharmacy online in a 6X or a 6C potency, low potency, and you could take it dry, or even putting a pellet into water and shaking the bottle and taking it over and over again throughout the day. This will also give you the potassium iodide that you need for your system. It will help you, certainly, if you're eating kelp that's high in iodine, to mm-hmm. be able to process this properly and to be able to get the radiation out of your system.
That's excellent information. So I wanted to really learn again how often we take it, so how many days we take it. Of course, it's important to get it into your system and secure that thyroid gland before you get the impact of actual radiation poisoning. So you really want to take care of that sooner than later. And it's much safer, you're saying, to take the Kali-Iodatum rather than the potassium iodide pills?
Right, because you could overdose yourself with the iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And people have overdosed, and you can die from that. The mm-hmm. potassium iodide that's in the Kali-Iodatum homeopathics would be very, very subtle. So it would help you to extract the potassium and the iodine from the food that you're eating. So it would be actually supplemental. So you could take it throughout the day. But again, I think that the people in Japan actually ate the miso, the soba noodle, and the kelp for many, many months afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be actually a necessary part of your diet, and I would suggest that everybody who hasn't already started that get started on that as a daily food for yourself.
Just a general nutritional.
Right, just a general nutritional. Buckwheat is a very, very good product. You can eat it either as sprouted seeds, you can eat it as buckwheat that you've cooked, or you can eat it. I mean, everyone thinks of buckwheat pancakes. Very poor use of buckwheat, in my estimation. But soba noodles.
Go ahead.
Soba noodles are, you know, basically a processed form of buckwheat. You're much better off by eating the buckwheat itself, just getting the groats, whether they're raw or toasted. Probably raw would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking them up very slowly, actually just allowing them to absorb the liquid enough for you to be able to eat them and crunch them. They're at high nutrient value. Again, kelp has high nutrient vitamin value. There's every vitamin and nutrient known to us and probably unknown to us within that kelp, as well as iodine. Comfrey, C-O-M-F-R-E-Y, is an herb that grows in the ground, and it has every nutrient and mineral that we know except iodine. So except iodine.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, comfrey is often called the seaweed of the land, but it doesn't have iodine in it. So you've got to find the iodine products.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you and I had discussed the black walnut product that my partner Tom Zeller produces. That has iodine in it, too. So that's a very, very good source of not only iodine, but also killing parasites and any other bacterial or viral loads that might be in you during these situations. Because this is what radiation actually does. It lowers your immune system's response, allowing any viral or bacterial entity that might be within you to now run rampant.
Mm-hmm. Can I go back a little bit?
Sure.
You were talking about the buckwheat and how most people think about buckwheat pancakes. But in my family, we like kasha.
Right.
Kasha and bow ties, kasha noodles, varnishkas. It's a European kind of food. And you could eat it as breakfast cereal instead of oatmeal. So when we say kasha, that is buckwheat groats. And that is the whole grain or cracked grain that is really delicious if people have never had it before.
Right. And it's actually an herb, and it's not really a grain. It's a berry. Oh.
Yes.
And so it has high nutrient value. If, for instance, and we call it kasha also. I'm Polish, and I come from a Polish background. So kasha ended up in our language or in my daily activity language with my grandparents to be any grain that we ate for breakfast.
Yeah.
But it's
very high in protein, I believe.
Many, many things. In fact, if you have someone who has not been eating for a very long period of time, whether they have been starved on purpose or through their own attitude, or someone who has had radiation poisoning, for instance, where they've been vomiting and having diarrhea and have no wish to eat. The way to get nutrient into them is through buckwheat. A buckwheat groat, a seed of buckwheat, the berry, can lay out on very poor soil, and it has every bit of nutrient within it to be able to get it to grow, and it actually adds much nutrition back into the soil, as well as nitrogen and potassium.
So it is a very remarkable food. Okay, so it helps the soil as well as our nutrition. It gives back in many, many ways. Okay,
and,
now, go ahead.
Okay, it was noted in Auschwitz when they were there and they got the people who had survived out of there. Of course, what do they have growing in Poland?
Yes.
Buckwheat, exponentially. So those who ate the buckwheat survived, and they had to eat it very slowly, but they ate it. If they came out and ate a large meal after not eating for as long as they had not been eating, they passed away because their digestive tracts could not handle it. But your digestion can handle buckwheat very, very, very well.
That's really very good information that people should learn and know about. It's interesting. What's very interesting is that the survival mechanisms are provided for within the areas where there is this kind of disaster. Like you say, in Auschwitz, when the people were being murdered and everything, and there was this disaster of survival, that the land provided something that could sustain them through the buckwheat. And then in Japan, again, because of the disaster of radiation, the land, or now the ocean, can provide for them the kelp and the seaweed. And it's interesting how the world, we are provided by the Creator for what we need right within our vicinity, our region. My question to you, though, is now that there is this radiation that is leaked into the ocean and the ground, is not the kelp contaminated?
It might very well be, and this is something we should be able to send to them because they have provided us with much kelp in the past.
Okay.
And it might be, there is actually a lady here in the Scottsdale area where I live who wants to put together a rescue method of sending water. She asked me yesterday, what do we need? And I said, miso, buckwheat, and kelp, as well as water. So she wants to put this all together and ask the churches of the region to, use this one particular family-owned coffee shop that we have in the area as a drop-off point for these products to send to them, because we are probably assured that the fish and the wildlife, the flora and the fauna of the ocean are contaminated at this point near Fukushima. They are noticing this in Tokyo, and I do have a friend colleague that I had met here in Pittsburgh who is now living there. She's trying to approach people who are refugees there living around her home. And this is what I'm hoping to be able to provide for her, is bottled water and distilled water to make the remedies. She has a reverse osmosis unit in her home. How well that's going to be taking out the radiation, I do not know. That's what they need. They need water, they need kelp, they need miso and buckwheat.
Okay, so maybe we can put together a little blog on the Homeopathy World Community website.
Okay.
In addition to the place where I've sent you before, on the website we have a very big blog all about the Japanese Homeopathic Society and their needs, asking for donations, how they are caring for the people there. And we could possibly add this as a shout-out to the world, whoever is able to provide and send these needed items, which it seems very simple, very easy, and it's just a matter. The question is, I don't know what the situation is for transportation and distribution of items to these people anymore. So I think the best thing would be to contact the Japanese Homeopathic Society and get them involved with it. And I noticed that you also said in a note to me earlier that besides eating the kelp, you're drinking loads of vitamin C in your water with magnesium, potassium, zinc, and calcium. And we do know, like we mentioned, that the soil is already been contaminated, and to use the baking soda as a wash to eliminate the area, to clean up the areas in that way. So how would you add the magnesium, potassium, zinc, and calcium? In what way do we do that?
Well, basically, there is a product that's on the market, and it's called C, the letter C, hyphen
letter
salts.
Sea salts. Okay.
And it is a company name. I think it's called Wholesale Nutritionals. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. But anyway, it is the best product because of it already has these, the magnesium, the potassium, the zinc, and the calcium as a buffer for the C. So one teaspoon, level teaspoon of the product actually has 4 grams of vitamin C. So in some cases, what you could do, and with C, this is how you should do it. You can take a teaspoon of this and do this in water.
In an 8-ounce glass of water?
In an 8-ounce into a 12-ounce glass of water. And then every 3 days, add another half teaspoon until you build up to taking 4 teaspoons daily. It's called Wholesale Nutrition, and it's www.nutri.com. It's a high-efficiency mineral water drink, and it's called sea salts.
Okay.
And it's a very, very good product.
Well, how would you compare this to taking Himalayan salts, which have many, many trace elements in there?
It's very salty, excuse me, where this is not as salty. There's not as much salt in this. That is a salt, where this is a vitamin C, basically a vitamin C drink with buffers, because vitamin C can be very acidic. So it can be very acidic for the kidneys, the ureters, the bladder, the urethra, especially if you don't drink enough water. So as you build more and more teaspoons of it, you're going to have to drink more and more water to get it through because, of course, vitamin C is water-soluble. So you will urinate it out pretty quickly. But what needs to be done is you need to have enough water to help it permeate the cells to get into where it needs to be. And, of course, the magnesium helps you do that, and so does the zinc. So it helps to open the pores and put it in there. One of the reasons why it's there.
So you prefer, and I'm trying to find the name of that company. Did you say it is, and is it Wholesales?
Wholesale Nutrition is the company, and it's www.nutri.com.
Nutri.com?
Nutri.com.
Oh, okay, I found it. Okay. And it looks like Whole Foods is linked up with them.
Evidently it is, because someone was, one of my clients was telling me, I think I saw this at Whole Foods, Phyllis, and I said,
okay. Cool, so we can go over to Whole Foods and get it then. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for letting us know about that.
Sure.
We have some remarks in the live chat today.
Okay.
It's Dr. Bob. It's my husband from NC State University. He is an environmental scientist and expert in global warming, and he says it's disturbing that the Japanese officials admit that there are thousands of gallons of highly radioactive seawater being discharged into the ocean and that there will be no effects to the ecosystem. They do not have the slightest idea. We're being given a bill of goods, basically. I mean, this is one of the things that I wanted to start the show with is, Be self-educated. Look and discern what you're being told by government officials. That, you know, even the United States government is saying that the Japanese are not giving us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So Dr. Bob says radioactivity bioaccumulates in the food chain. The big fish will be contaminated for their entire lives. And then if we eat them, we're going to get that. And he's asking me to reintroduce you because he must have come in late from teaching classes. And I would like to reintroduce you to those folks who come in a little bit later. This is Phyllis Georgic of Pennsylvania. And she is a good friend of mine for many, I don't know whether it's 11 years, more than that.
12 years at least.
11, 12 years. And she is a wealth of knowledge about healing, holistic medicine, all kinds of nutritional diet herbs. She's done midwifery, Tibetan Qigong with me, ancient medical healing, and she knows a lot about homeopathy, especially with thousands and thousands of hours of study with the major international homeopaths of the current day, contemporary teachers. And so we're just so pleased that she's able to come on to the show and speak with us about her knowledge. And she said earlier that the baking soda, sodium bromide, helps to clear the environment. And I'm going to, you know, I normally go into the bathtub and soak in there just to relax, and I always put in a half a cup or so of baking soda and Epsom salts.
Yeah.
And so we can, yeah, so we can really even through our skin help to cleanse. And that was one of the first things that people said to me was, if you've got any kind of burning or radiation, wash your skin. So
yeah,
that is a really good idea to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the magnesium sulfate of the Epsom salts actually aids to drain out everything from your system. So the baking soda really neutralizes so much of the toxins.
Well, that is a good idea. I'm going to see everybody's going to be taking these nice baths and feel a lot better about it.
Yes.
So we're getting this information that the trace amounts of radioactive iodine linked to the Japan's crippled nuclear power station have turned up in the rainwater samples, and not just around the perimeter of the nuclear plant, but all the way here on the East Coast in Massachusetts this week. And there's low-level radioiodine-131 that's detected in the precipitation at the sample locations in Massachusetts. And also, I guess, in California, Washington State, and in your location in Pennsylvania, they're saying, this makes no sense to me, they say that it poses no impact to the drinking supplies and the public health. Isn't it amazing? Because we know any amount, and I wanted to make a mention that as homeopaths, we know that each person is an individual with their own immune system, with their own triggers and susceptibilities and sensitivities. So perhaps it might not make an effect on one person, but their neighbor might have a compromised immune system. And that one little bit, that's why I don't really do mammograms, because I'm thinking the continual impact of the x-rays are not going to be healthy for my body. They're going to I worry about that.
Yeah, they're going to lower your immune system, and that's what's happening here. That's the reason why radiation is given to people who have tumors. They are trying to lower the immune system's response to feeding that tumor. That's the goal. It's very good in theory, but in actuality is very detrimental, because they cannot just target cancer cells. And just because there's a tumor in one part of the body doesn't mean there isn't cancer cells in other parts of the body. The reason why I promote the vitamin C is because Linus Pauling did a large, extensive study on the uses of megadoses of vitamin C to actually kill cancer. Vitamin C is an antioxidant. So are the bioflavonoids on the inside of the orange and grapefruit and lime and lemon rinds. That's called the pith, the P-I-T-H, pith. And I often eat the white rind on the inside of the oranges.
Okay. And grapefruits too? I just got a whole bunch of grapefruits.
Right, they're pretty bitter. That's pretty tough. If you can do that, you're a pretty hard liner. But I do it with lemons. I tend to be able to do it with lemons, but grapefruits are pretty bitter.
Okay.
But I eat a lot of grapefruits also.
Uh-huh.
So it's very important that the vitamin C content actually boosts the immune system and is able to also release radiation from the system.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been noted. This had been noted simply because of the uses of radiation for cancer treatments.
Yes. So that's but the physicians really acknowledge the fact that, in a way, that localized cancer treatment through radiation is not going to cover the disease in the person, because they also give chemotherapy, which they say the reason is because there are cancer cells.
Rogue cancer cells that are running through the system, right.
Right. So in a way, they acknowledge that cancer is not a localized disease in one part or tissue of the body. It really is the entire organism that is affected and enables this cancer to grow. And so we have to look at it very holistically. Homeopaths do look at the total person, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, all aspects, and utilize the remedies that have been used over 200 years to assist the body in strengthening its immune system. So,
right, and then we have to realize that that cancer itself is actually something they call a trophoblast. And a trophoblast is actually what you were when your father's sperm and your mother's egg came down the fallopian tube and embedded itself into the wall of your mother's endometrium. That mm-hmm. is called a trophoblast. A trophoblast is able to eat itself in, and at some point or another, your mother's immune system, her pituitary gland, sent out a quote-unquote chemotherapy that stopped you from being able to eat through her entire womb into her bloodstream
mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly. And so as a result, what cancer cells are actually you. They're actually you trying to create another you.
Uh-huh.
They have gone awry. They have been somehow they have been allowed to come out of their space, wherever it is, their bone marrow, into the spleen. They've been allowed to come out immaturely, and they don't know their place, because each of our cells, our B cells and our T cells, are actually teacher cells. They teach the new cells that come in what to do next. And when they are immature, they can't learn. Just like you're trying to teach a baby calculus, can't do
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
So as a result, this is what happens. The cells, through some sort of chemical or disarrangement of the immune system, poor diet, maybe a vaccine virus that was unforeseen by the immune system is trying to fight it, or some chemical in the environment attached itself, and the body's trying to fight that, and in the meantime, it's devoting so much effort to this that it's allowing other things to just go awry, and the immune system allows, instead of grabbing these cells and saying, you don't belong here, we got to send you out,
mm-hmm.
and taking them out through the lymphatic system and through the urine out of your system, they actually allow them to stick around, and they look at them, and they're kind of confused as to what they are. So that's mm-hmm. the reason why radiation is such a problem. It lowers your immune system's response so exponentially
mm-hmm.
that your immune system is going, I can't even provide for myself, let alone for these immature cells that are running around here. So it's kind of like a population mm-hmm. Of cats that's just gone crazy in an area. And there's not enough rats to keep them busy, and there's not enough food to feed them, and now they're just going crazy, and they're going to just grab onto anything they can.
A lot of people say herding cats. They use that expression, trying to herd cats. But as I was listening to you speak about the mode of action of the body, the immune system, in relation to these cancer cells. We know that from the time you're born, we always have cancer cells running through our system, but the immune system handles it. They keep everything in check. There's a fine-tuned balance. And it sounds like because there's a miscommunication, a misfiring, or an overabundance of something in one location that the immune system is running to try and fix, the something in another location is just getting out of whack. And I'm thinking globally now that in our world today, we have this tremendous crisis, panic situation in Japan where everything is exploding, melting down, getting, contaminating, and all of our environment, and everybody is rushing there. And at the same time, having on blinders, in Libya, in the other parts of the country, there's other stuff heating up. And how do we run to both places? How do we have enough resources to supply all the places in the world that are in need of resources, like you say, sending buckwheat water, just the basics, groats and water, and what was the other thing
said?
And kelp. I mean, so we're needing these basic fundamental things of survival to keep us alive, and yet all these places in the world are popping up that need care. And so if you put that as a metaphor for our body in the same way, if we're going to zap the thyroid because of the radiation, what's going to happen to the rest of the body? And this is just my mind going wild with metaphors and analogies.
Right. And again, it's just like, here's another analogy. The cells themselves are not identified as cells that are not performing a function. And so the body allows them, and they kind of like put them on life support. They have no function, but they keep supporting them and supporting them and supporting them instead of throwing them off. So that's a larger metaphor of what it is that's happening in the world. Everybody has got to take hold and charge of themselves. Mm-hmm. And even in the homeopathic kit that I had mentioned, and I had made that Materia Medica to go along with it, I have remedies in there for grief. I have remedies in there for, for food that has gone bad and that has caused you poisoning. So you've got a lot of things that you can be doing for yourself. And the first things to do is feed yourself the best food you can.
Mm-hmm.
And even in this world of where we might have contaminated food, learn how to use baking soda. Another thing that I would also use in my to clean off food that I got that was conventional that I thought might have pesticide, I would take a handful of sea salt and I would take the juice of 2 lemons and squeeze that into my sink water. And then I would put all my vegetables and fruit into that and clean that off. Because even though you might not eat the external areas of oranges or grapefruits, they spray them with a fungicide. And this fungicide actually stops your immune system from working.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot of things that now are going exponential in the immune system oppression. So what we have to do now is we've got to concentrate on really eating good whole foods and staying away from processed material, even in the organic sense. You can get an organic cereal, but if it's still processed, eating puffed millet is not like eating millet itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got to realize. The tastes of our children have changed from the tastes of you and I and of our grandparents and our parents. So that's an important, issue that we've got to really realize that what are we... Mm-hmm. Where are we going here? How can we aid ourselves? And your best bet, again, is eating whole and natural foods.
Right. We have to start with the basics. Now, oops, I'm sorry. I clicked on a piece of my show and it started to play. And that's a good time to kind of like take a little break and talk about that kit that you kind of devised, a handout with about 50 remedies that is for a disaster relief. And you created that for the 9/11, And many of those remedies are appropriate for all kinds of disasters, including the nuclear meltdown, whatever is happening. Actually, they're calling it a nuclear meltdown now. It's official. And so I was thinking that you might want to just select one or two of those remedies to talk about, and then we'll go ahead, you know, with some more information about what's going on in the news today.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right.
So
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Let's look at a remedy that maybe you might be able
to. How about cadmium metallicum? Cadmium sulf?
Let me punch down onto that one, because I was actually going to.
Did you have a different one you thought was more
okay.
appropriate to start with?
That's okay. Yeah, the cadmium. Let's go to the cadmium. It's not a remedy that's often used. It's mostly used for people who've had radiation poisoning. So that's the reason why you went to it. And the radiation poisoning that we normally deal with, of course, is people who've had chemotherapy and come to us for these issues. Let's see here. I have to grab my computer because I don't actually have anything.
Okay.
Out anymore. It's all.
Do you want me to read some of the symptoms?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we've got, for instance, cadmium sulf is typically used for the treatment of those persons who have already been treated by the medical establishment through chemotherapy and radiation, and the person typically will feel very, very weak, extreme prostration. And this is a very similar, and that's why we call it homeopathic, it's the symptoms that are similar that we use for curative action. And this is an extreme prostration, almost like she's giving us another remedy called Baptisia that is used for yellow fever. And I know that people need to take lots of rest and don't have the stamina to go through an entire day without taking a nap. They're just fatigued. And the effects of the radiation or chemicals have this effect on individuals because obviously their immune system is lowered. Did you find your page?
Yes, I did. I did find the page. And we've got, we've got cadmium metallicum, we've got cadmium sulfuricum, we've got cadmium iodatum.
Oh, good. Would that be more appropriate?
And so, well, basically, Grimmer is the only one that I have any info about, and this is in Robin Murphy's Materia Medica. And that's because, actually, Robin Murphy went and that was his thesis when he graduated naturopathic school. So he put together a whole booklet on the cure of cancer with homeopathy. And so that's where he came up with the cadmium iodatum. But again, it's, again, cadmium iodine. So iodine is another big issue along with it, but we've got cadmium bromide, we've got cadmium fluoricum, and so there are, which is a fluoride. So there's various different aspects when you see the cadmium as a metallic, and then we add it to a sulfur. Sulfur, we know, is a burning hot. So it deals more with the burning hot, burning, cutting pains in the stomach, intense nausea, retching, gagging. This would be going on if someone was exposed to radiation, and these are the people who were trying to work on the plant as it was blowing up and actually probably have already passed away.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure that there were a lot of workers that were there when it first went.
We don't hear about that.
No, we don't. They don't want to tell you. They don't want to tell you about what goes on with that kind of stuff because they don't want to cause panic. But instead of doing something that will aid us to be able to help ourselves, they would much rather just keep us all in the dark. And that's the shame of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
Dr. Bob has sent us a message on the chat saying that the pictures of Japan reactors were just published in the New York Times, and calling it a disaster is an understatement, and he has a link to that. So, it is, what is a bigger word than disaster? What else word can you think of? It's
right.
a travesty. I don't know what else to
right.
to say.
It yes.
And
it's an abomination, actually.
Yeah,
I would call it that.
Oh boy, yes, yeah. So, but we are. I want to also make a statement, which I didn't say at the beginning of the show, and I usually do, that when I have a guest on or when I'm just doing a show, it's basically a study session of. We're letting people listen into a personal conversation. And if you are a patient out there, you need to find a healthcare professional to take care of your needs. And that's not the purpose in our shows. We're just educational. I want to make sure everybody knows that. The Tokyo Electric Power stock has fallen 95%, says Dr. Bob, and the company is worthless. It's about time they told the truth. Well, you know what, Dr. Bob? I have been listening to the news on and off for the past couple of days, and I keep hearing people saying that I'm all for nuclear power, and it's really very safe, and just because these older power plants were created 40 years ago and they didn't take proper precautions or build them to proper standards at that time doesn't mean that it would be more safe today. And I think it's a bunch of hooey. I don't know how they can even think of that when they're looking at literally thousands of lost lives and probably hundreds of thousands more who are going to be affected in the coming months and years due to this radiation that's coming up in the jet streams and falling all the way over on the East Coast here. You know, we are in a fishbowl. We are one total planet, and we're all affected. We have to stand up and say something and do
right.
something.
We've got to make some kind of statements. There are other ways besides wind and solar energy out there. We know that there are magnetic ways of making engines run. We understand that there's a lot more information out here that's being kept from us. There is some commune somewhere in California, I think, that's been running off of a generator that just pulls electricity out of the atmosphere and has been running for 20 years. Nobody wants anyone to know this because this would be free energy, and this free energy would shut down our need for any of these other methods that are actually dangerous to us. Anyone who would say that nuclear energy is safe has mm-hmm. got to be embedded with many stocks in the nuclear energy field.
Well, we only have like 10 minutes left to the show, and mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to invite you to come on again because you have so much information to provide to the public. But let's talk a little bit more about the homeopathic remedies and how they relate to healing for individuals who have been sickened by radiation.
Okay, well, in the very beginnings of when someone has been sickened by radiation, and this is the things that we're going to see. We're going to see very low symptoms at first because we're not right there with the radiation coming off. So as a result, they might see things like facial paralysis, or they might see injuries or inflammation to their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They might actually have some kind of overthirst, feeling almost like they've got
diabetes.
And many of these remedies actually we use homeopathically for diabetes. Like, for instance, radium brome.
Is also good for
diabetes. And uranium nitricum. These are diabetic remedies.
Mm-hmm.
So we use them for diabetes. Now, most of the time, of course, the causations that we use homeopathy, these remedies in homeopathy, are for radiation poisoning and chemotherapy patients. But they could actually have things like lead poisoning. Now, lead
mm-hmm.
poisoning might be even part of what's going on in an atmosphere of such disaster.
Definitely.
Because there will be, you know, breaks because of water damage, sewage systems backed up, So you've got a lot of other things going on. But these people may actually start to have just heart palpitations and feelings of constriction in their chest. They could be feeling very, very dull-minded or very restless. And the sun, actually, when the sun comes out and starts to burn them, when they've never been burned before, this is an understanding that radiation is too much in your area, that you have it in your
in the atmosphere.
Right.
Really?
Right.
So you're saying if you go out to do sunbathing, you go to the beach or something, but you normally don't get sunburned?
Right.
And you, all of a sudden you're getting sunburned? What about putting on suntan lotion, you know, the sunblock?
The sunblocks, you can do those things, but those are actually aren't helping you any because you want to get some rays from the sun. What I'm saying, this is just an indication that you could, in fact, be experiencing higher levels of radiation in the atmosphere than you even realize. And that it could be from these types of things, kicking up and blowing around. And, of course, then you're inhaling these types of things also. So, and certainly you can't block yourself in by putting plastic on your windows and staying indoors all the time because you still have to go outside at some point. So one of the best ways to know is to really know homeopathy, find yourself a homeopathic practitioner, realize that homeopathy is a good method of aiding yourself. And you could actually, and I've told a few of my clients, if they are fearful of the radiation, take some of your rainwater, make it into a homeopathic remedy. And you should know how to make your homeopathic remedies from anything. People were worried about the chemtrails and the strontium carb and the, what else was in the, what was in it, the barium and the aluminum that was in the chemtrails. And they were complaining that they thought that this might be a problem. I said, then make yourself a remedy from your own rainwater and start to take small amounts of it daily.
And they're saying there's a lot of cesium being leaked out right now.
Right.
They're measuring the levels. So we've got all of these heavy metals that are very toxic, makes a great impact. You explained how the cells work, and we have certain things that can assist us, but in the larger picture, we need to change the way we live and change the politics, you know,
as the grassroots have got to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore. We don't want nuclear energy. We're not interested in this kind of thing. We want you to go and look at Nikola Tesla's information and really utilize it. It's available out there. There are people who are trying it, and we've got to stop the powers that be that put these people out of commission who are trying to get patents for these things, who are trying to get, and in fact, I always suggest that instead of even going for a patent, we've got the internet right now. Throw it out on the internet. Tell people what you know. Let it go, because it's only going to be better for you and for everyone around you if we stop utilizing these type of technologies to run electricity. I live in a small little house. In my little house, I have no refrigerator. I have no cook stove. I've got crock pots and a skillet. I use wood as my heat. I would like to use other as my heat, but for right now, I have a very small wood stove I use as my heat. I have no television. I've got the internet, and I've got a telephone.
It's a good thing.
My uses of kilowatt energy in the winter is about 300 kilowatts. In the summer, it's about 167. What we need to do is people need to learn how to live without electricity.
Can I rein you in? I'm sorry. I kind of took you astray. I want to know what is the difference. How would somebody select? We've got cadmium sulf, cadmium iodatum, cadmium bromide, cadmium fluoricum, and cadmium metallicum. So we've got that five right there, all dealing with cadmium, which must be the basic remedy that's important, and then the additional a component, so element that's attached to it.
Right.
How
and the
does
element,
one select?
Okay, well, the basic, the remedy that I would probably select for radiation poisoning, right straight up, would be cadmium metallicum. Cadmium sulfuricum would be, it would actually be radiation effects. So this would be what we in our
okay.
areas would probably use as the sulfuricum. The people who are actually in Japan who have been experiencing pain and blotching on their skin and whatever, that would be the cadmium metallicum remedy. The closer
okay.
you are to the radiation, the more spot on you've got to be with the remedy. So if you read the remedy itself, you will see all sorts of things, buzzing in your ears and eye sensitivity to light and insatiable appetite and then nausea and vomiting and then total loss of
mm-hmm.
appetite. These are things that happen to people when they are directly exposed to radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I just spoke to a very, very close friend who's in her 90s, who was there at Hiroshima, and she said that the devastation, just seeing people that were just bones,
yeah.
there really wasn't anything to them, and that's what happens as a result. We have
yes, and a grief remedy that's necessary is also Ignatia. People always forget this, but
okay.
this is one of the first things that when these people start seeing this kind of stuff or realizing this and this really hits them, Ignatia is a remedy that needs to be taken until
right.
they can get themselves stable so that they can think again.
Very good. I appreciate that. And I know it is probably the number one thing for that loss of all those lives, all their family, their relatives, their friends. They don't even know where they are. And Ignatia is a very, very strong, deep-acting remedy. We only have, let's see, 2 minutes left, and we have bunches of questions and comments on the chat. So I'm going to have to ask you to come back. People want to know how to make a remedy out of the rainwater.
Yep, I'll bet.
And he says it's going to take 3 to 5 years to deactivate the Fukushima plant and clean it up. And that's to me, it sounds like a very short amount of time thinking about cleaning
right.
up that. That's,
I find this strange, but that's, you know, yeah. there again, not giving us everything.
No, I mean, there's no way that's not going to get cleaned up at all. It's even Chernobyl, that place is totally wiped out for
right,
the half-life, devastated for the half-life of those heavy metals, which is past all of our generation.
Correct.
So I think that there, what I said, the initially when it happened, I reported my own personal feeling was, just get everybody out there. Don't go back and try and get your clothes. Don't
right.
go back for anything. Just everybody clear out and get away, because there's no way that place can be safe for any length of time.
Right.
I'm going to close the show, and I'm going to say thank you so much, Phyllis. I loved having you on, and we will be back again next Wednesday. I don't know whether Kavi's going to be here, or maybe you'll chime in again.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for allowing me to be on, and I thank you very much, and I kudos to your efforts for doing this. This is a wonderful thing. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to How Homeopathy Helps Grow Great Gardens with co-hosts Kaviraj Vaikuthanath and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to get some sunshine and light up your life in your garden.